There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
Three lawyers filed a lawsuit against the city of Seattle after the repeal of the head tax went through. And just out of precaution, the repeal signature gatherers, who received over 46,000 signatures, they turned them in to the city of Seattle just in case. Because the lawsuit is over whether or not the council violated the open meetings law. Attorney Lincoln Beauregard, who you probably remember, he is the attorney who represented one of the accusers against former Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. He spoke with our sister station, Cairo Radio.
The most recent occurrence really just infuriated our legal team and our client, who also happens to be a lawyer. And we decided that we needed to do what the law allows and file a deterrent case to make sure that it doesn't happen in the future, because people are being deprived of their opportunity to participate.
So as he says, this is a deterrent case. They want to do this to put the council and the mayor's office on notice that if you plot anything, if you debate anything, if you discuss issues of incredible importance to the community and you do it behind the scenes when you're supposed to do it in front of us, we are going to hold you to account. And for Lincoln Beauregard, the council did two things wrong.
It sounds like they reached a consensus and had a debate outside of public view and then announced it. And then they also didn't announce it with the proper 24-hour timeline.
So that's incredibly important if you want to give people a voice in the process.
See, it's a intent to both violate the spirit and the purpose of the law, which allows the public to sit back and watch their debate, know their position, so you can know who you want to vote for in the future, so you can participate in the debate. And they just aren't doing that. They're deciding in advance and doing what they're supposed to be doing in public.
And so really what this is a principled position that they're taking. And it's a principle that I support. I do wonder something, though. And we talked about it a little bit early on in the show. I'd be curious to find out what you think at 1-800-465-8770 if you want to text us on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Is if this part of the debate was open to the public, would we have gotten to the point where the council actually decided to repeal the head tax? Would we have gotten there? Because what's incredibly certain and clear is that Shama Sawant would have gotten her professional activists to show up to that meeting and try to bully folks like Lisa Herbold or Mike O'Brien or Teresa Mosqueda, although she ends up voting to retain the head tax. They would have showed up to bully them all. And this is a council that is very susceptible to progressive activists who like to bully. That's how this thing got passed in the first place. I mean, remember, the head tax was never, ever, ever, ever popular. Never. Literally never. The only people who liked the head tax were fringe activists, fringe socialists, who hate business, who saw this as going after the enemy, capitalism. But when it was actually polled amongst normal people, the non-professional activists who show up to yell at council members, every single plan, every single dollar amount associated with the head tax had more opposition than support by huge numbers. When you actually looked at the business community, in a survey that the council put out, showed the exact same results, and yet they move forward with the head tax legislation anyway. So if all of a sudden, if you give more time and more ability to these activists to protest, would we have gotten the same results? Now, the good news is, regardless of how the courts will decide to rule as to whether or not the city violated the open meetings law, it seems like it won't impact the actual repeal. The Seattle Times spoke with Catherine George, a Seattle lawyer who handles government transparency issues. She said case law suggests it's unlikely the repeal ordinance would be invalidated based on any potential private discussions before the public vote. So that's good news. That's good news. Now, meanwhile, you're hearing from Republicans statewide who were using the head tax to push forward their own legislation that would have prevented the head tax from going into place in the city of Seattle if, in Olympia, they decided to vote for the legislation. Senator Steve O'Bann, a Republican, wants to make sure that we're still encouraging business growth, because there's no doubt that businesses, regardless of whether or not this appeal went through, still looks at the city of Seattle as anti-business.
They were going to try to discourage more growth by creating a new anti-jobs tax. What my credit does is says Yes, we recognize that tax policy has a direct connection to job growth, and we want to create jobs.
And he says the Seattle Council surrendered for the wrong reasons.
They're bowing to political pressure. We learned today that the referendum supporters who want to repeal the tax got twice the number of signatures necessary to qualify. That suggests to me that this is just pure political capitulation on the Seattle City Council's part, not that they've come to see how wrong-headed and anti-growth their original tax was.
And let's be clear, just because they decided to repeal this head tax doesn't mean that all of a sudden the council has taken a different position on taxes. They're still incredibly tax-happy, which is what Senator Mark Schessler, a Republican, points out.
They have an insatiable appetite for new and higher taxes. We've seen an income tax, we've seen a bullet tax, we've seen a sugary beverage tax, we've seen a head tax. What will they think of next?
I mean, what will they think of next? And that's a legitimate question, because they still say we don't have enough money to take care of homelessness, which is a lie. They're not spending dollars efficiently. They have the money. They just need to make some cuts to some of their dramatic spending. Let's be clear. They're spending $20 million a year on homelessness, and it's gotten worse. The region is spending tens of millions of dollars every single year. King County, tens of millions of dollars being spent on homelessness. The problem is not a lack of funding. That's never been the problem in the last several years. The problem is they're inefficient with the money that they spend. They put money into programs that don't do anything, and they don't stop putting the money into those programs. They don't communicate well between all the agencies. Look at the audit that was recently done about homelessness spending. I mean, they're flat out lying to you when they say they don't have enough room in shelters. How many times have Mike O'Brien made that point? But then when you actually talk to the people on the ground, the ones who work with the homeless over at Seattle's Union Gospel Mission or United Way of King County, they all confirm we have shelter beds available. We have shelter beds available. So don't fall for any of this nonsense. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So crows are attacking people at Seattle Pacific University, and I want to laugh. It's funny. I mean, come on. It's a little bit funny. I know someone got hurt. They don't give us the details over at Como News as to how a student got hurt, but they do say that there's now a whole bunch of beware of crows signs up, and apparently the crows are dive bombing on people. And I don't know if they're like attacking people or maybe what's in their hands, because I told this story in the first hour of the show. When I was in Vancouver, where they have this problem, they're just going after your food. And so I don't know if that's the case here. I can't imagine the crows are just attacking Seattleites.
I think Dory had a crow outside of his front door that was bothering him.
Our sister station.
Yes. He just said that it would... I mean, I don't think he was ever holding food. It would just
attack
stare.
Him. Well, Dory, you know, his personality, maybe the crow didn't get along.
Maybe it was a leftist.
Maybe it was just an angry liberal crow. But the thing is, some of these crows, because we were talking about it, someone texted us at 1-800-465-8770. It's the second smartest bird out there. I don't know what the first smart one was, but...
Pigeon?
Pigeons are not smart. Pigeons are the dumbest
carrier
animals.
They're
the carrier pigeons. They don't even know what they're doing. Crows will stare you down. Crows will hang out and be like, I'm intimidating you here because my intent is to scare you, and now I'm going to attack. Like, crows are the worst. And we had that story of the girl who just basically was like befriended a whole bunch of crows, and the crows did all of its bidding for her. Like, the crows would steal jewelry and deliver it to this girl. And someone texted us saying that maybe we can have the homeless cleanup be done by these birds, by crows, like pick up the needles, which I wouldn't necessarily want to give that job to a crow. It's disease and everything, but have them be trained to clean up all the litter. That could clean up the Seattle area. Like, start using it, like, just let's get a big group of warrior birds.
Yeah, just along the highway, all that.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Where would they deliver? We'd have to teach them to pick it up and then deliver it to...
A trash can?
A trash bin.
Or
that
eat it.
That could be fun. We could put trash bins, though, on, like, on top of buildings, like on rooftops.
That would be cool.
Right? And then soon Amazon will take control, and then they'll have them deliver packages instead of the drones. Right? I think there's the possibility. There's so many possibilities. That's all I'm saying.
Delivery crows.
Right? Delivery crows. That'd be so cool. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. It is Friday. You know what that means? I get to talk movies. A big release out today and this weekend is based on the hilarious true story of a group of friends from Spokane who have had a game of tag going for decades. Yes, a game of tag.
Please tell me what's going on here.
Our group of friends has been playing the same game of tag for 30 years.
What?
For the entire month of May, every year, we play tag.
You pushed me.
You never know when someone's going to pop up.
Congratulations, buddy. You're in.
Doing great, Anna.
Our buddy Jerry, he's the best that ever played.
And now he wants to retire.
Never been tagged. Just saying.
So who's it?
Can't touch it.
This is the year we get Jerry.
Can't touch it.
Synchronize your watches.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't wear a watch.
Time is a construct.
Tag stars Ed Helms, Jeremy Renner, John Hamm, Hannibal Buress, Jake Johnson, and so many more. It's very much an R-rated comedy, but it also manages to have some heart.
This game has given us a reason to be in each other's lives.
Come on, it's been a while since we've done this.
It seems like the game has really kept you guys connected.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Congratulations, buddy. You're in.
So as you heard, it follows the friends as they descend upon the wedding of Jeremy Renner's character, who's set to retire from the game of tag, which would leave him with a perfect record. So the group of friends get more and more desperate and more gutsy in their effort to tag him. Tag is way better than I thought it would be. This movie is funny. The chemistry between the group is what makes this film work so well. It really feels like they were friends and they clearly had a good time making this movie. The situations they find themselves in, the lengths that they'll go for this particular game are pretty outrageous, and yet it actually happened. If you stick around after the movie, you're going to see some clips from the actual guys who played tag for over three decades. The movie, of course, is by no means perfect. The Wall Street Journal character they drag along in the movie is wholly unnecessary. It doesn't bring anything to the story. Isla Fisher, who plays the deeply competitive wife of one of the taggers, she is hilarious, but I found that she was underutilized. I wanted to see more of her. The love triangle story with Rashida Jones felt like filler, like it wasn't really meant to be part of the movie, but they needed it to make sure that they got to about 90 minutes. The movie, however, is still deeply funny. John Hamm and Hannibal Buress, I think, are particular standouts. From a language perspective, this is a hard R, and it's got some very politically incorrect humor, which is maybe why I liked it so much. Tag is out now, and I do recommend it. Another film out now is a smaller release, and I'm going to be honest, most of you are not going to see it. That is a shame. I really liked The Seagull. It's based on the Anton Chekhov play about an aging actress played by Annette Bening and the lover she's losing to a much younger actress played by Saoirse Ronan.
As summer begins, the guests arrive.
So,
good evening.
Well, sit down, join us.
Isn't she adorable?
Even the thought of her makes my heart race.
No, no, don't be shy. He's a celebrity, but he has a simple soul.
Boris Trigorin, he's so famous. He looked young.
He is young and accomplished, don't remind me.
The stage is set.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Who is that you were talking to? Nina.
Yes.
For a little family drama.
Have you seen Nina?
She went to the lake with Boris.
It's not often I have the occasion to meet young, interesting women.
What does it feel like to be famous?
Marsha, why is my son so depressed?
He's heartsick. What's that supposed to mean?
Constantine!
I love Constantine. Such a face, such a marvelous voice. You must go on the stage.
I envy you. You're happy.
Please, be generous. Let me go.
Are you that infatuated with her?
So the trailer I found to be hokey, which is not what this movie is. The movie is a dark, witty comedy. It's a tragic comedy. And the cast is absolutely outstanding. Elizabeth Moss is so good in this. You probably know her from The Handmaid's Tale. Billy Howell, Brian Dennehy round out the cast. This is a movie where every character is in love with the wrong person. People who offer no reciprocation of love. My sense with a movie like this is either you're going to really appreciate what it is because of the acting, But I do think that some of you are going to be turned off because of how talky the movie is. And yes, the movie is talky. It's an Anton Chekhov play that it's based on. I do think the director, Michael Mayer, works around the talkiness of it with a unique sense of pacing and framing of each scene. This is a beautiful movie to watch, but you'll either like it or you'll hate it. And you can tell from the trailer which category you're going to fit into. The name of the movie is called The Seagull. It's out now in limited release. It's only playing at the Cinemark Lincoln Square Cinemas in Bellevue and AMC Pacific Place in Seattle. If you're able to check it out, I do highly recommend it. I was a big fan of The Seagull and the film Tag, two movies that are remarkably different from each other. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. I would love to find out what you're seeing this weekend. The Incredibles 2 is also out, but I didn't get a chance to see that as a screening took place when I was out of town. So I would love to hear your reviews after you see The Incredibles 2, or tell me what you're excited to see. Text me on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. This is The Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH. Welcome back to The Jason Rancho, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget to text the keyword podcast to the number 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. Then we'll send you a link so you can actually subscribe to our podcast. Every subscriber we get goes a very long way, not just in supporting the actual show, but the more we get means on iTunes, when people are searching for podcasts, our name will pop up. And then you can help us spread conservative values all across Washington State, because for too long, the people who live here are getting hit with an echo chamber of far to the left progressive ideas. They need a wake-up call. This will, at the very minimum, will trigger some snowflake. And, you know, that's kind of fun. Text the keyword podcast to the number 1-800-465-8770. Subscribe. Not only do you get the full 3 hours, so if you miss anything, you can actually catch up. But we also do the After Show podcast, which is a daily podcast. It's podcast only. It's the only way you can get it is if you subscribe. Podcast. Keyword podcast. To the number 1-800-465-8770. I got a tip yesterday from a listener, and I am so grateful to the tips that you guys give me, because without some of these tips, some of these stories are going to be completely ignored. And we found out about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, June 2nd, at approximately 2:30 p.m., a homeless man living in a tent attacked and strangled a tourist visiting the Space Needle with his family. The tourist was visiting from Arizona. He ends up parking with his family on 3rd Avenue, right by the Seattle Center, next to a whole bunch of tents. He felt uncomfortable. His family felt uncomfortable. So he ends up pulling into a parking lot nearby at the Wells Fargo. As he gets out of the car, he notices someone from the tent looking at him and approaching them and talking to them in a threatening way. They got a little freaked out. They tried to get away. And as they were walking away, the homeless man, allegedly, decided to run up from behind him, punch him in the back of the head. He had a rope in his hand. The rope, according to a witness, the kind you hang people with, or the kind you hurt people with. He put the rope around this guy's neck and tried to strangle him to death. He had a 6-inch long rope burn from his Adam's apple to his clavicle. He was able to get away. He was able to run away, as did his family. He was there with his girlfriend, for example. But before you know it, as he thought he was away, this homeless man sprinted up to him and started to punch him again from behind. He ends up getting in his punching him in his face, in his chin. He got hurt. Cops get there, break up the fight, and then arrest this man. The man had a knife on him, pocket knife. He didn't use it, thankfully. And apparently this guy is delusional. Apparently this guy is living with mental illness, because he believed that the tourist was actually a 14-year-old boy trying to hook up with the woman that he's going to marry. It's a crazy person. This is another violent attack on just a passerby, an innocent person, just trying to survive and enjoy Seattle. This is happening on a regular basis. People are getting harassed on a regular basis. We would not have known about this story had a tipster not told me about it. We would not have gotten the story if not for you. Which for me makes me think of all the other instances in which this happens that we don't find out about. Because it's not in the best interest of the city of Seattle to put this information out there, because they want to pretend that people who are living out on the streets, they're all there through no fault of their own. They're just on, they just got a little bit of bad luck. They're not violent. They don't live with any issues whatsoever, like drug addiction or alcoholism. They're just like you and me. They were one paycheck away from missing out on their rent, and now they're out on the streets. And we know that that's just not the case. We know that that's not the case. This tent city, or this tent encampment, you know where it's located? About a block away from the so-called homeless mansion that we talked about last week because they added a keg to their amenities. The city has been aware of these tents for months. For months. And they've declared that these tents are low priority for sweeps. And so as a result of them being labeled low priority, as a result of the city of Seattle not doing anything about it, we have a tourist getting brutally attacked, almost killed. At what point do we take back this city? We're starting to, man. We're getting so close. Because if the homeless problem gets out of hand here, then it gets out of hand in Everett and Linwood and Redmond and Tacoma and Olympia. Because we have been complacent for too long. We got to stop being complacent. We got to start fighting back. We got to start demanding that the council actually does something here in Seattle. That our elected officials actually do something rather than tell us, oh, it's not a big deal. Because what's happening right now? A tiny home village that might be low barrier opening up in a densely populated South Lake Union neighborhood. Right where I live. And people for the longest time have been telling the city, no, we do not want that here. Because we know that the element that you're bringing into our neighborhoods is potentially dangerous. There was a woman who spoke up at a recent community hearing that I was at, talking about her sexual assault. She was sexually assaulted and she doesn't want to live next to a tiny home village that accepts people on a first-come, first-served basis. Oh, but we're going to have security on the actual tiny home village. What about when they leave the tiny home village? Will you be tracking them down? You've got security protecting themselves from each other on site. But once they leave, you're no longer offering any bit of security. You're no longer helping. And people are trying to fight back. There's another meeting coming up next Thursday. I'll be at. Next week, I will be promoting the hell out of this because I want you to show up. I want you to join me. I want you to help us fight back. We got to call them out on this. It's in their interest to keep stories like this silent. We can't allow them to. In fact, if you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770, I'll send you a link to the story. A story that you can post on your Facebook feeds, on your Twitter feeds, on Instagram and Snapchat, wherever it is you go. Email this around. Because the more we shine a light on this kind of behavior, the harder it is for members of the Seattle City government to hide it. Now, Como TV was the only other media outlet they got a hold of this story. I broke it, though. Just keep that in mind. They went up to one of the women who lives at the homeless mansion right across the street. Her name is Michelle Burns. We've heard from her before. She's a basket case. She refuses to get services. She's been living there undeterred by the Seattle City government for months.
And if I recall, she's from West Virginia.
Yeah, she's not even from the area.
Yeah.
But shh. Why did you say that? You can't say that. All the people who are here, they just live in Seattle already. They were just your neighbors, your friends, your mechanics, your dentists, who just suddenly found themselves on the streets. Don't let facts get in the way of their narrative. Come on, man. Here she is talking with Como TV. She says this is going to make homeless people look bad.
If they're going to attack tourists, they'll attack anybody. Of course, now it's going to increase our scrutiny and make us more likely to be moved.
You should be moved. I can barely keep my voice strong today, and yet talking about this is giving me this new sense of energy. You should be moved. We have no idea who you are. We have no idea what you're capable of. You're not supposed to be living out on the streets. You're not supposed to be in a tent. We've got shelter beds for you. You're choosing not to accept it. Here's another homeless man. He's writing out to stay as long as he can.
I'm not worried about getting cleared out of here because I know I'm going to have to go at some point.
Yeah, at some point. Maybe you should just leave now because we don't know what you're capable of and you're choosing not to accept the help that we're offering. We have help for you. We have help for you. We have shelter beds. We have programs that we would help you with. You're choosing not to take the help. That's on you. It's on you. It's not on me anymore. I've offered everything I can offer. You're taking advantage of how willing we are to help you and how permissive we have become. We can't allow this anymore. There was a rape in Ballard just a few weeks ago by someone who was living in an encampment. Are you okay with that? Is the city of Seattle okay with that? How many people are they putting in danger, in harm's way, by not actually getting involved in cases like this? It is unbelievable. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. I'm going to send you a link to this story. Please spread it everywhere you can. Shine a light on the lack of leadership around homelessness in this city before it spreads, before it gets to where you're listening to us, before it gets to Kent and Kirkland and Bellevue and Bremerton. Spread it. Send the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. This kind of stuff is impacting tourism. That means it's impacting our economy. We're going to get into that angle when we come back. You're listening to The Jason RANTZ Show. Welcome back to The Jason RANTZ Show. Thank you so much for all the text messages. Lots of you sent the keyword RANTZ in to 1-800-465-8770. And as a result, we sent you the information that you need in order to spread this story. Just another tragic story of how homelessness is impacting everyday life. And again, kudos to our friends over at Como. Well, my friend, Matt Markovich, he's the one who's been following on this story to help bring attention to it. Because there are so many aspects to the homelessness story and how it's impacting this entire region that we barely talk about. We talk about it from the violent standpoint, from the security standpoint, but what about from the economic standpoint? Because not only are we wasting millions and millions of dollars on programs that don't actually work, it's costing us from the standpoint of conventions not wanting to be setting up here. We're talking about possibly having a World Cup game, several, in Seattle. That brings us millions and millions and millions of dollars. But maybe it's not going to happen because of some of this nonsense. The American Pharmacy Association, they wrote a letter to the city of Seattle saying they're almost done with Seattle if they can't help. If you're not going to address these issues, we're done. Gary Horker, our friend over at Cairo 7, did tremendous work. I want to play for you his clip, his entire feature.
We want convention attendees to feel safe and welcome in Seattle.
David Blanford with Visit Seattle told us right now Seattle tourism and the convention business is bringing billions, yes, billions of dollars into this city.
Business is great, for sure, but business may not always be great. And the time frame that we're working in is not just in 2018. We're working as far out as 15 to 20 years.
That's why David is very concerned about a letter Cairo 7 obtained exclusively, which was sent by the American Pharmacist Association to leaders at Visit Seattle, saying Seattle's explosive homeless crisis is making them concerned for the safety of a large convention next year. The letter began by saying, quote, "Based on my recent visit, I believe that the problem has gotten out of control." The letter describes 14 convention planners visiting Seattle in April, and the letter spells out just what they saw. Two men urinating on the street, one man who defecated on himself. One man aggressively pursued a member of my team down the street demanding cash. We lost count of the number of people walking around talking to themselves. The smell of urine and marijuana near the Washington State Convention Center and along the routes of our hotels to the center.
Should this continue, are you worried about an impact on your business?
Yes, we are. We're concerned that if the problems were to become worse, more prolific, that that could affect our business. The conventions could either cancel or threaten to not come back again.
The top executive at Visit Seattle passed a letter on to the mayor and added this, quote, sadly, our city is out of control and we are way past the tipping point we all talk about and have feared. Our destination brand and Seattle's attractiveness, both for visitors and residents, is being tarnished and diminished daily. You're at a convention.
Yes.
Have you noticed a homeless issue in here in Seattle?
I have, yes. Unfortunately, it's very sad.
Eileen Jobson is at a veterinarian's convention here in Seattle, attended by 16,000 people. And even coming from New York, she says what she sees here is alarming.
And on the ride from the airport, you could see all the tents along the highway, you know, where people are living.
Conventions and tourism are a very major part of Seattle's economy. 39.9 million visitors came to Seattle and King County in 2017. Seattle visitors spent $7.4 billion in the city and the county in 2017. Tourism in Seattle generated an estimated $10.7 billion in total economic impact last year.
We have arguably the most dynamic, vibrant, colorful, alive downtown in America, and we're really proud of that. So that is a selling point.
David with Visit Seattle says part of his job is to explain the city's challenges to visitors, and he says his visitors are always asking the same questions.
Is Seattle working to solve some of these problems? And so we want to tell them that yes, we absolutely are. These are serious problems, complex problems. This will take a long time to really affect positive change, but we are working on it with the mayor's office, with police. It'll take all of us working together to really affect that change.
So the reason I played that full clip, because we don't normally play clips that long, is, well, number one, I'm losing my voice, and that really helped me pay attention for recoup for a little bit. But number two, it's that important. There are millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line beyond what we're spending to go after a problem that shows no signs of getting better. We don't have these conversations all that often, do we? The mayor this week touted the fact that we can bring the World Cup to Seattle. King County executive touted, we can bring the World Cup to Seattle. Do you think the World Cup wants to set up shop here? If we've got on a regular basis people getting attacked by homeless folks, then on the way in to CenturyLink, they're going to be passing a whole host of tents, tent encampments. I don't think they're going to want to bring that here. We got to figure this out. We got to figure this out before it's too late. And man, it's getting too late for some neighborhoods. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to the shocking story of an attack that happened just recently. The only way we found out was because someone emailed me a tip. If you want to email me, RANTZ at KTTH.com, or again, text the keyword RANTZ. 1-800-465-877.